The recording is a public record subject to disclosure. By continuing to be in the meeting, you are consenting to being recorded and consenting to this record being released to public record requesters who may see you, your home, and your family members in the recording. Participants need to be mindful of what is within view of the webcam and with range of a microphone. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. In a virtual meeting like this, it's particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you've raised your hand and been recognized by me as the chair. I will also ask for a motion and a second for each agenda item, unless it's noticed for our discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by me as the chair. And similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to my attention, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. So first item of business is the approval of the minutes. I need a motion to approve the minutes from our July 11th meeting.
So moved.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Do you have any changes or edits or items you want to discuss from the minutes? If so, please raise your hand. All right. And unless there, if you have an objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we will declare, okay, I declare the minutes approved. Nice job, everyone. All right, and then the next agenda item is public comment. Do we have any registered?
We do not.
Okay, well, easy. All right, and then we do have, next up is disclosures and recusals. We do have some standard ones. Do any other members have disclosures or recusals on any of the agenda items beyond the standard disclosures and recusals? Great. All right, for new business, we've got a bunch today. For, let's see, agenda item. I think the first one is the City of Madison budget presentation. Is that right, Monty?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And so are there any registered speakers, Madeline, on the budget presentation?
There are not.
All right, I'm going to hand it over to Monty to present information on the 2025 budget.
Okay, sorry about that delay, but I believe I am sharing the screen so you can see the slide right now. So we've been asked to present to all of our committees just some information about the City of Madison budget. It's a really a condensed version, and I know we've been talking about it at many of our meetings in the past year, and I believe one last year as well. So we'll go through these slides. I'm happy to answer any questions. Jim O'Keefe is here as well, who can provide more detail about, you know, the overall budget or the division if people have any questions. So just the foundation of the city budget is that we really have two budgets. One is the capital budget and the other is the operating budget. Capital budget cannot be transferred, or funds from that budget cannot be transferred for use into our operating budget. And the capital really covers infrastructure, you know, and investments to ensure that infrastructure is safe, advancing goals on climate change, housing, and other issues. And that is primarily paid through borrowing. Special assessments, impact fees, user fees, grants also help finance some of our capital projects. So it's those larger long-term projects that the city invests in terms of our infrastructure. And our operating budget is what pays for the daily services to the city residents, city staff, community-based organizations. It is state law that we must have a balanced budget at the end of the year. And this also includes charges for services, user fees, and some federal and state aid as well. So here's just some 2024 facts about our current budget that we're in. It's a total of $405.4 million. And knowing that 63% of that budget goes for personnel and staff salaries. And in this slide, I would note that Madison, with its size, has fewer employees than most cities of its size, relative. And we all know that Madison is growing as well and protected, and that population increase doesn't look like it's going down anytime soon. And so the operating budget is 71% property tax. It's the largest revenue source. There's also local revenues, state aid, and fund balance will make up the rest of that. So our current situation for the 2025 budget is that we have a structural deficit. So currently estimated at $22 million. And so what that means essentially is that's what it's going to cost if we were doing everything now and continuing it on to next year. Why are we in this situation? Limited revenues. So the state of Wisconsin puts limits on our revenues. And so revenues are not keeping pace with inflation, and that Madison receives less state aid per resident compared to the statewide average. So Madison receives about $29 per resident when the statewide average is $195 per resident. Two, we're, like I mentioned earlier, we're a growing city. And so as we get more people, there's a higher need for more services. And of course, the annual increases for cost of living, higher healthcare costs, inflation, that all affects our budget and our costs. And three, the city has not fully recovered from the pandemic. Federal COVID relief dollars has helped with some of the revenue losses in prior years, but that ends this year. And so 2025 puts us in a bit of a pinch. So like I just mentioned, here's a graph of what some other places are getting in terms of state aid per resident. So you can see Madison's right there at the bottom at $29. Big Falls, which I do not know that population off the top of my head, it is fairly small, gets about just over $1,000 per resident. You can see the city average is 195, municipal average is 142. So this has a big impact on the city of Madison and the services we can provide and our budget as well. And so we get back in the city of Madison 18 cents for every $1 of state taxes paid. So further illustrating, you know, how much money is coming back versus how much Madison and residents of the city are contributing to that state pot of dollars. And so what has the city done? I think it's important to note that the city has had a structural budget deficit, or faced a budget deficit every year since 2011, when the state imposed the levy limits. So it's also important to note that the problem is bigger in 2025 because of the pandemic and the loss of those federal recovery funds. And so I won't go through all of this in detail. This can be shared after the meeting if you have more questions and you're welcome to reach out to me. You're welcome to reach out to Jim, and we would be happy to answer those questions for you. But as you can see, since the 2012 budget, the city of Madison has really been, you know, doing what they can to cover those costs and, you know, not have to go towards a referendum. So where does that leave us? Really, there's two options of reducing expenditures and increasing revenues. Closing the budget gap through cuts alone would have significant impacts on the services that residents are provided in the city. The reduction would be to all or most agencies, or could be to all or most agencies. You could look to cut specific programs. For example, $27 million to find that would be cutting 270 staff positions. Another option is to increase revenues, but that option is limited by the state. We cannot have a local sales tax or income tax at this time. What we can do is create new special charges, increase local revenues such as fines or fees, or ask the voters to increase the property tax levy through a voter referendum, which, and now these slides were developed in July. The Common Council did vote to have a referendum. It will be on the November ballot. So that is how they've chosen to move forward with this. So some other options to think about, solving this deficit is going to require permanent changes. It's that $22 million is ongoing. So these options won't solve the deficit, but may be considered for policy reasons. There's one-time cuts or revenues. An example is holding positions vacant or furloughs. But any amount saved in 2025 would be added back into the 2026 budget. Plus, with furloughs, there's potential for higher overtime cost as services still do need to be provided and will be provided. A revenue example is selling city land or buildings or using our fund balance, which is known as the rainy day fund. But again, that is a one-time source of funding. So to use all of the rainy day fund means hasn't fixed that deficit in the budget and will just have to be addressed the next year. Another option is reducing the debt service. So the debt service is excluded in the calculation for the allowable levy limit increase. Less debt does lower allowable property tax. But less debt service does not increase the allowable levy for operations as well. The third option is there's non-general fund budgets. So increasing revenues within other funds, such as utility rates, parking fees, that will not help the general fund. Reducing non-general fund expenses may lower user rates on municipal bills. And transfers and subsidies to other funds, such as public health, Madison Metro, they're regulated, they're complex, and should not be a primary strategy for reducing the deficit. So this I shared with you at a previous meeting, some of the council guidance on the 2025 budget. As you can see, they have values and priorities and guidance on developing the budget. Since this slide deck has been developed, there's multi-year plans being communicated to the public. There's been community engagement events. I believe yesterday there was a Ask Me Anything event where people could attend and ask about the budget. Referendum language has been developed. We've explored ways to, we've explored reductions in expenditures. And really been looking at all of these things from the guidance from the Common Council. Okay. So I think this slide really illustrates with a referendum, we can avoid significant cuts for 5 years. And so with this comes a strategy of using that rainy day fund, really, looking at reductions in services, that won't have a significant impact at one time. It'll be an ongoing conversation for a while. But as you can see, when we get to 2030, then the rainy day fund would have been fully expended, and then we start to see that deficit crop back up. So by that time, we would need additional revenue or cuts to balance the budget. Without a referendum, the city would need additional cuts and revenue by 2027. So as you can see, those deficit numbers continue to go up. And by 2030, we'd be looking at $63 million. So in what's been laid out by the Common Council, it's really looking at all the different approaches. To try and address the structural aspect of this deficit. And also on this slide, I should highlight, that the city of Madison is really looking to work with the state legislature to address the shared revenue calculation, and potentially look at what a local sales tax could do and what that would take to implement that. Those things are not an easy or a timely fix to the budget. And so the earliest we would see anything, if there were shared revenue changes, would be in the 2026 budget. And the earliest a local sales tax would likely impact the budget would be the 2027 budget as well. Okay. So it comes down at our last meeting, we discussed that the mayor requested a reduction in budgets across the board and give our recommendations. And so right now I'm focusing specifically on the childcare program. We've sent out our recommendations throughout the whole division. It was close to $800,000 was our ask to identify. In the childcare unit, we identified the Northside Early Childhood Zone as where we could reduce our funding at this time. And for a variety of different reasons, as you can see, there were really three parts to that budget. Part to cover childcare costs for people who are participating in programs. And there was facility rental that we partnered with on the county. That's no longer needed, so that $15,000 is free. And then a family engagement specialist who would help families navigate a variety of different childcare and service systems in the city. And so all of our recommendations were sent to the mayor's office. They are currently evaluating all agency submissions and will release the executive budget on October 8th. So it is, we made our recommendations and we will find out more on October 8th. Okay, and then this is just a budget timeline. As you can see, half of these dates have passed already. Of kind of the budget process from here on out. After the executive budget is released, we'll go to the Finance Committee. Common Council will have a chance to take a look at it, and then adoption would happen on November 12th through the 14th. So I think that's all I have. I'm happy to field any questions. If I don't have the answer, I'd be happy to pass it to Jim, or we can take down your question and, get you the answer you're looking for.
Does anyone have questions for Monty or Jim?
Guess I have one.
Go ahead.
I didn't quite understand. Are you saying that with a referendum, they're looking at reducing fund balance? Or is that if the referendum didn't happen?
I think I would probably have to refer to Jim on this one. I think with the because this is an ongoing structural deficit, looking into the 5-year plan, there's still options to use that fund balance to cover some services as we determine, more ways to reduce that. But Jim, if you have more information or better answer, please.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Monty. Current understanding, I believe, is that in the event that the referendum is approved, the city would be moving forward with a cost to continue budget. There may be some small increases in fees and other revenues, but I think the belief is that we could mostly get by without spending reductions. And in the event that the referendum is not approved, the multi-year plan that the mayor has put forth would rely on a portion of the fund balance. In 2025, it would rely on some increases in fees and charges, and it would inflict about $6 million of spending reductions over current spending levels.
I guess my question is, would you be, I used to work in a school and I understand fund balance. Without fund balance, when you borrow, et cetera, your costs are higher. So is there a level that is maintained in fund balance regardless of how that's going, or is there a required level for you?
Yes, there definitely is a required fund balance. I think the target that the city of Madison sets is about 15% of the total budget.
Okay.
And as you noted, it is a very important consideration when bond agencies rate the city's creditworthiness, and this city is very protective of its AAA bond rating, which ensures the lowest borrowing costs available. So yes, that fund balance would never be depleted entirely, but there is some room to maneuver with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Just wanted to say thank you, Monty, for just a very clear explication of all this, given how much there has been in the media that is sometimes not always accurate or clear. And I did check, Big Falls, Wisconsin consists of a whole 61 people.
Wow, that's smaller than I thought. Like I had a number in like the low 100s. I will say in defense of Big Falls, I'm guessing they're not generating a lot of revenue from their properties of the 61 people, some of whom I assume live in the same house. But yeah, thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thanks so much. Our next agenda item is is number 85143, which I think I forgot to do in the last one, sorry. Tuition assistance enrollment and program. Madeline, are there any registered speakers?
There are not.
All right. I am going to hand it over to Monty to provide an update.
Great. Well, thank you. So I put on the screen where we're at with our tuition assistance program right now. As you can see, we've served a total of, and I say unique total, it's 24 unique children that have been served in the program up to this point in the year. 18 total families. You can see at January 1st, we had 17 children enrolled. October 1st, we're expecting 10. Or by the end of this month, we will have had 10. That would have been a better way to put it. Which historically, this is the way enrollment goes. As soon as school starts, some children have aged out or care is no longer needed. And so that enrollment kind of drops through September, begins to pick back up in October through January as families are moving and children are aging in and out of circumstances. So I think it's going to behoove us to look at options from this program that fit within the goal of making sure childcare is affordable and accessible for those with high barriers to accessing that care. And so we're doing our own internal work to look at, what are these options? What can we do? Knowing full well the impact of a program like this, even on one child and one family is huge. But so this is, in my opinion, pretty standard in what we've seen the last couple of years since the pandemic in terms of our enrollment and serving children and families. So happy to answer any questions about this. Nothing really exciting or off about these numbers at this point.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, Monty. All right, our next agenda item is 85144, approval for childcare facilities loan program funding. Madeline, are there any registered speakers?
There are not.
All right, and it's back to Monty to provide information on applications and funding recommendations.
Great. So as of June, we put out some information about our new child care facilities loan program that was approved by the Common Council, I believe last end of November or December of last year. And so it's been a bit of a whirlwind getting this program up and running. And so what we'll be looking for today is just approval on the recommendations for this program. And we've covered some of it in the past, but I thought I would give you a little more information about what the program is. The whole goal is to expand more slots for childcare, really focusing on some specific criteria, you know, looking to build more infant and toddler spots in areas where childcare is determined scarce by childcaredeserts.org. excuse me. We're really looking for programs that intend to or currently serve 20% or more families participating in subsidy programs, or 20% of their enrollment. Programs that serve communities where there are limited options for culturally affirming regulated care. Programs that intend to serve children with differing abilities or those that may need increased medical attention. Programs that have a good history of licensing compliance and quality improvement, and then also considering programs that provide transportation or are located near a public transit route. And so when we rolled out the entire budget is $250,000. And so we rolled out the program in June, got a lot of information. We've had a lot of meetings about the program. It is a program that is intended for any provider to be really shovel ready, meaning they're ready to move in, they're ready to build, they're ready to fix things up now. And so with that small window of rollout, we have a lot of programs that are interested, but not a lot of programs that are ready to go at this moment. So assuming that this program is continuing on into next year, I think we'll have a lot of feedback and we'll do larger communications and meetings. We are looking internally about melding this program, for lack of a better word, with our community facilities program, which is similar. This program itself can provide loans to for-profit providers. The community facilities loan program focuses only on nonprofits. So we're looking at how to administer that. And once we get that all down, there'll be more communication out about how to access the program, contact people, and what that looks like. So the good news is we got three really great applications, complete applications at this point, that the staff feel are good opportunities for funding. And so what we would need today is just approval from you so that we could move forward with those conversations and, you know, make sure that that everything they put in their application is still current, that they're still looking at those facilities. We know with construction and moving facilities, you know, that can be pretty stressful and can change. So the three programs that submitted complete applications are The Playing Field, Little Genius Bilingual Childcare, and Safari Bilingual Childcare. And so I'll spend a couple minutes just going over some of their application, the high points of their application, and why we feel they meet the eligibility here. So The Playing Field is expanding, and they have a partnership with the Plumbers Union out on the east side of Madison at 2102 East Spring Drive. They're located about less than a mile from what would be considered scarcity. They provide above average wages and salary. They're dedicated to serving families with the highest needs. They have a very strong history of compliance and quality. They'll be greatly increasing infant and toddler slots at this new facility. which was a home improvement store prior to that. And new construction is necessary to meet child care license eligibility. And so their request for funds or the cost of what it's going to take to complete this project vastly exceeds what we can provide in terms of funding. But we do hope that with these dollars, they could open up sooner rather than later some of these classrooms. So Little Genius Bilingual Child Care is on 3131 West Washington Avenue. The facility used to be a child care program that was there for a very long time in the community. The community very much valued that program. It's a provider who's never been licensed before, though they have worked and are familiar with regulation in child care. They're about a mile from an area of the city that's identified as scarce. They will be providing culturally and linguistically affirming care. They're really focusing on increasing infant and toddler slots. And so the facility they're in now wasn't really designed to be a child care even when it was first built. And so it needs some significant modifications to expand those infant and toddler slots. Specifically around, if you're not familiar with child care licensing, you need a grade level exit in the classroom for any child, for any infant room. And so that itself is very costly. Yeah, I'd be happy to take your question.
I had a very little question. This is East Wash, right? It was Cloudy's Kids? Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just was like trying to picture where you were.
Yeah, sorry. That is an error. it is on East Washington. I apologize. It's in an area of the city where, culturally and linguistically affirming care is needed. On a transit route, it's really close to, rapid transit that will be coming soon. So we also think it is a great opportunity to build care out in that area of the city. And the final application that we think that we're recommending is Safari Bilingual Child Care. So this is someone who operates a currently regulated program in Cross Plains. And so they are looking to expand into Madison. They have a great opportunity with a 25-year lease. If you need a little picture of the map, it is, really close, probably across the street from Westtown Mall. So it's in that area, again, on a transit route, commuter route, providing culturally and linguistically affirming care. They currently a three-star rated program with good compliance history. The facility is in need of repair to become eligible for a child care license, specifically around the roof. Needs some work and doors and just accessibility for infants and toddlers. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them right now. And like I mentioned earlier, we just need your approval to move forward with these three applications, which are the only three completed applications we have received at this point. So that's happy to take questions.
All right. Can I have somebody make a motion?
I can make a motion.
And a second.
To approve as presented.
Thank you. And a second.
I can second.
Thank you. All right. Any discussion or questions or anything you need before we move to vote? All right. I'm going to actually call the question just because it's not in my script what to do otherwise. So all those in favor of approving these, say aye.
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 All opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm abstaining due to a conflict of interest.
Okay. I think we're still okay, right? We only had one. I don't remember. Okay. All right, good.
I believe we're still good.
Yes. Awesome. All right. So that motion carries, and we can move on to the next item. So the next one is number 85145, membership update. Madeline, are there any registered speakers?
There are not.
All right. Hi, Monty. Do you want to provide us the new member update and timeline?
Sure. So we've got a person who wants to be on the committee. She, Gulshan, does fantastic work around mental health and children and youth, working primarily with, I believe, in a program in Milwaukee at the moment, but is a resident of the city of Madison. And so I believe it is going to be introduced to the Common Council either the end of this month or next month. And so she would be eligible to attend in November. And so that would mean we have a full committee, but we are always still on the lookout for people who might be interested. As I know that some people have been here for a while and we're still wanting to give people a break if that's what they're looking for. So that's really exciting news. But again, if you know anyone who might be interested in being on this committee, we've got lots of big ideas for 2025 and how we can, you know, really impact childcare in the city of Madison and what's the city's role in that. I'd be happy to speak with them, schedule a meeting, and talk more about it. So exciting news.
Wonderful. Thank you. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Monty, if you wanted to send me any like short blurb or something like that, I believe it's something I could put on my District 11 blog. I tend to get a lot of attention whenever I write stuff lately. So great. I'd be happy to send that information out.
Great. I'd be happy to send you something. I'll make sure I'll get to that probably by Monday.
Sure, that's fine. Thank you.
All right, such good news. Thanks, Monty. All right, so our last business item is 85146, the CSC report, and that would be from you, Barbara.
We have not met since our last meeting. We have our meeting is scheduled for September 25th. So
perfect. A couple
yet, so, so that's a very short report.
All right, we'll look forward to hearing from you in November. That is all our business for today. So I can take a motion a second for adjournment.
So moved.
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to assume no objection and declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate you being here. And thank you, Monty, for the action-packed agenda.